Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Into the house, Pompey.
Okay. I'm on the house now.
No, you're coming through on the on Sherry's phone.
Okay, let me try it again.
She's not on. Hello? Hello?
Okay, she's not on. She has to call me back. Tell her to hang up and call me back on the 714 number.
Phone number, because right now I
don't have her on the line.
Hello?
Hello, Julia, can you hear me?
I did, and
hello.
I can hear Chaim just fine, but he can't hear me. I can hear him perfectly.
Okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been here, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Been
I'm going to have to edit out this part, but
okay.
On the live one, sorry. Okay?
Okay. All right. We're good. We're good. Thank you. Sorry,
all right.
Jerry.
I want to start now.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. With me this evening is Julia Roth, calling us all the way from Richmond, Virginia. Mrs. Roth is...
Yes, hi.
Good evening, Mrs. Roth. Let's start again, and we'll edit it afterwards. Hi, good evening. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening is Julia Roth from Richmond, Virginia. Mrs. Roth is a community activist, not in the sense of our president, but a true community activist who volunteers her time, her resources for the good of the Richmond Jewish community. She has recently opened a food pantry. She is a certified doula, a birth assistant, and she will be talking to us tonight about the history of the Jewish community in Richmond, what brought her to open up the pantry, and who is Julia Roth in general. Good evening, Julia.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. So let's start with the history of the community in Richmond, Virginia. It's a very, very old community by American standards. What can you tell us?
Well, I mean, just in general, there's been a Jewish presence in Richmond probably since just after the Revolutionary War. But it was, the Orthodox community, the KBI community that I'm affiliated with, started in the mid-1850s, something around there.
Right.
And it's been a steady presence here for, all these years. And KBI has been growing and changing, and it's merged with other communities and other Orthodox things. So the location where we are now, we've been in there since 1970. There's about 150 members of the community, of the KBI community, and there's always been a Jewish presence in Richmond. So You can go all the way back to the Civil War, where Judah Benjamin was this, you know, the Secretary of State. I think it was the Secretary of State, I believe.
He started out as Secretary of Treasurer, then he became, I believe, Secretary of War.
Okay, because I know it was he and Verina Davis who were running things during a good part
right.
of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on the Confederate White House is very close by, and you can see there, you can see where he sat, where he worked, and he, together with the First Lady, were running a lot of the day-to-day things in the Confederacy. And then you have Commodore Leahy, who saved Monticello and who was a great admirer of Thomas Jefferson. And the whole estate was going to be disbanded because of bankruptcy. And he came in and he kept the estate together and kept Monticello so that we know it as we know it today, so it didn't get divided up. So there's always been a strong, strong Jewish presence here. I'm not an expert, but I've been enjoying every time I've gone somewhere, I've been enjoying the true history that's everywhere in Richmond. There's so much authentic history here. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. So did you have
very
any
good.
Questions? Yeah, I mean, did that answer your question? I'm not sure if that.
Yes, basically. Now let me ask you another question, and this one is a more personal question. How did you decide to come up with a pantry? Why? How did you find that there was a need?
I was actually visiting in Chicago, and I was with some of my friends there, and I saw them running through the Chicago Chesed Fund. They have a lot of these neighborhood-based pantries, and I saw how well it worked in the neighborhood. And literally, I was talking to some people at services at synagogue, and I asked them, I said, what do you think about this idea? And I explained what I had seen and how it worked and how many different families could benefit. The most needy families benefited, and some of the schools benefited, and some of the camps, and whatever overages there were just filtered through the whole community. And a lot of people responded. They were excited. They said, you know, this sounds like a great thing, but where would you do it, and what would you – how would you do it? And I explained to them that my friend did this in her dining room. She lined up boxes of potatoes and onions, and people came. And it was, you know, anyway, so in a very short amount of time, I spoke with a number of people in the community, and their response was unanimous. They said, we really feel this would be something that we could benefit from and that Richmond could really use. And every single person I spoke to was encouraging and positive, and I was astounded. It happened quickly, and it happened efficiently because there were so many hands, there were so many people, and it was wonderful to see everybody coming together. And in a very short amount of time, we had a distribution, and people came, and we just kept track of the numbers of people. We didn't ask for names. We didn't ask for, you know, addresses or anything like that. And we had the first time out, the first distribution date, there were somewhere between 12 and 15 different families, households represented, somewhere around 50 people represented in the distribution. And we saw that this was not just something that we thought was a good idea, but was really going to serve our community. And it got to be very dynamic after that.
How do you get your food?
So I have dedicated this co-op in memory of my parents and my husband's father. My parents, Elaine and Joseph Bachner, and my husband's father, Irving Roth, may they rest in peace. There were Yahrzeits coming up, and I felt like I wanted to contribute some money. So I started with a very, you know, modest amount of money that I was going to purchase food here in Richmond, you know, chicken and eggs and potatoes and onions, the basic things that you might use to make a Shabbat meal. And I spoke to a few people, and there were people who brought private donations of actual food, and they brought private donations of money, and there was just a tremendous outpouring. Everybody wanted to help. Everybody wanted to contribute. What do you need? And again, I was able to see this amazing side of the community, and there was no shortage of people. They really came forward, and they said, we'll help. And I was a little astounded at the the amount of food we had to give away the first night we opened. And thank God, it's continued. So
what are some of the items that you guys give out in the pantry?
Okay, so what we try to provide every family with each week, we started this, it usually is between 1 and 2 chickens per family, depending on the size of the family, 3 dozen eggs, a fair amount of produce that can include apples, oranges, potatoes, onions, carrots. We had one private Westbury Pharmacy has a grocery, and they gave us a lot of, you know, boxed items like cereal and matzahs and things like that. And we really were able to contribute almost the complete, in my opinion, just about everything for a Shabbat meal. Not the challah, not the grape juice, but, you know, basically a Shabbat meal. And that's what we've been steadily able to do that. And every week I'm astounded at the people who come forward. There have been offers of freezers. There have been offers of refrigerators. What do you need? You know, just, and here it is, and we'd like to help. So today we were privileged. A private donor brought forth about 2 van loads full of strawberries and cantaloupe and tomatoes, and I couldn't imagine just the amount of sheer numbers of boxes of things that people were donating. And they all have been distributed, not all have been distributed, but they're in the co-op. We distribute on Thursday night. And so we distributed some to the local school and some to the co-op. And so that's been an amazing thing to see, an amazing largesse. And the people who've come forward have made it possible to really round it out. We try to supply the chicken because that's harder to get in Richmond. And in a New York audience, it's hard to believe that you could go to the store and be in the mood for a nice piece of fresh chicken and there not be any. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's very possible that could happen on a given day if it's not the right day of the week. So to provide those things for a family that may not be able to afford to buy chicken, and if they don't buy it when they see it, they may not see it again for another few days or another week. So we try to provide that. And the staple, you know, the staples. We have a program with the Mixing Bowl Bakery. They've been providing us with challah at a very deep discount so that we can provide it for some of the families that come. And then if there's, you know, there's a donation program that people can donate to keep the challahs coming. So that's another facet of it. It's very dynamic. It's changing every week. The number of people is changing every week, and the number of items we can offer is changing. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that we really, really have gotten a tremendous amount of fresh produce. And this is an unusual thing for a food bank in a sense. We very, very few items are boxed. Almost everything we're offering is either fresh or frozen. And we're trying very,
very. So, in other words, not only do you provide food, but you actually provide healthy food.
Right, right. The emphasis is on getting very fresh produce, and the community, some of the private donors who have come forward have been really wonderful about providing fresh produce, and with, you know, making it available and not expecting people to just have a can of something or a box of something. And so I'm finding that extremely exciting to be able to bring something not just nourishing but really fresh to the community. And people seem to be responding very well to that. I spoke to the Food Bank of Virginia, and we're trying to get on board with them, and we're in the process of applying, and they were very excited that we were doing that. They said that's not always so easy in every community to get people to appreciate the fresh produce and to embrace fresh and healthy living. And so they were excited that we were interested in partnering with them, and they were very, you know, encouraging us that we should apply and that we should go through the process and become affiliated with them. So that was another really positive, exciting thing to have happen in the community.
Now, I understand that you also have been a Hebrew Days teacher for about 12 or so years.
Yeah,
how is that transition from teacher to doula to food pantry owner or food pantry operator?
It's really all just being a mom. I think if you boil it down to the most simplest element, everything that I do or that I enjoy doing are pretty much aspects of being a mom. And I love being a mom. And so helping people to birth and bring life into the world and easing their transition into birth and bringing people comfort with food and with sustenance and, you know, teaching, those are all things that mommies do. So I've just sort of taken my role as a mom as my children have gotten a little bit older, and I've been able to kind of share more of that with the community, and that's been a privilege. That's been a real privilege that I've had to be able to do that. And, of course, being invited into a family and helping them birth is a very intimate place in a family's life, and the same way that providing an education or learning how to read Hebrew might be a very intimate place in a person's life. And also feeding them. they all kind of have a very similar theme in my way of looking at the world, is that, you know, by kind of sharing parenting, whatever you want to call it, you're enriching the world and hopefully making it a better place, a little bit of what we would call tikkun olam, of repairing the world little by little. So I think it's all the same thing.
Now, during this life odyssey, I am sure you must have had some great stories, some stories that you probably want to forget, some funny stories. Care to share some of them with us?
You're talking about from the food bank or from the
In general.
I remember when we moved to Richmond about 4 years ago, and we had to kind of adjust to the fact that at night it was really dark in Richmond. That was one of my first introduction to Richmond. There's no light pollution. It's a very, at night that you could see stars and you could actually, you know, experience darkness, which we never had experienced before in Chicago. That was my first, that just something about Richmond. And part of the food bank is just sort of integrating into Richmond. It's a very amazing place, a beautiful place. Anecdotal stories. I'm blanking out on what I wanted to tell you. I think about the food bank, about being able to do things so quickly. It just feels like a huge gift, and I'm not sure which story I could even pinpoint at this moment. I'm trying to think, and it's not coming. There's been such a rush of really beautiful people, just a lot of people helping. I think the most surprising thing I heard in all the process of starting the food bank was that that there wasn't a demand for fresh produce among a lot of the disadvantaged families. They were really excited that the Jewish community would come on board and actually want the produce that they were bringing out. That there were so many communities that just because of their circumstances, they just never learned or never got used to having fresh produce and having fresh things. And they were just really excited that we were able to do that. And I will think of one in a minute. Just for some reason.
Okay, in the meantime, let's talk a bit about Richmond. Over the last few years, I've been to Richmond quite often, and Richmond has changed tremendously since the time when I lived there as a teenager before leaving for UCB University in 1965. As a matter of fact, KBI at the time was on the boulevard in what is today no longer a place of Jewish worship, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
It was right next to the Virginia Museum of Art, right across at the time.
Okay.
They had just started out with the Hebrew Academy, Young Israel, which was considered almost out of town at the time. Today, right. Even the Hebrew Academy is no longer the center of Jewish life. But it's further out on Patterson, where KBI is. KBI has a day school, has a mesifta, has a kollel, and has a lot of community activities. So yes, it's a vibrant community. It's a community that is coming back to life. And we'd like to hear some of the activities that are going on in Richmond.
We have a food festival that's coming up, and that's January 20th and 21st. It's the KBI community organizes and cooks for and plans for all year, and there are the most amazing bubbies who get together and all their recipes. And so it will be this year for the first time at the JCC, which is a state-of-the-art JCC. It's an amazing, amazing place. And they have every convenience and every modern facility, from the swimming to the exercise. But this year they're actually going to host the KBI Food Festival. And I was told that the menu is going to be amazing, that they're going to have authentic shawarma and stuffed cabbage and brisket and corned beef and varnishes, and that these things all are about, you know, very reasonably priced, and they're amazing. And they're going to really have a venue now that can accommodate a large number of people, even larger than our very, very spacious KBI. So that's going to be an amazing event, and that's something that people look forward to all year. And it, literally the whole community comes together to cook for it. The whole community comes together to make up the recipes. It's an amazing, amazing place to sit down and eat a great meal and see the community, and everyone comes. It's all different ethnic groups and all different people from not just the Jewish community, but from everywhere. So that's something I would never want to miss, and I would tell people they should definitely, definitely get here to do that. If you're a real dedicated foodie audience, they would not miss the food festival. And you can see the people cooking. These are people who have been doing this for a long time, and it's amazing. It's an amazing event.
And what is the date?
The date is January 20th and 21st, and it goes from 11:30 in the afternoon till 7 p.m. at night. And it's at the JCC on Monument Avenue, which is easy to find. It's one of the main thoroughfares in Richmond. You can't miss the three-story high monuments to many of the Civil War heroes that are right there. And it's a very amazing facility in and of itself. So I would highly recommend anybody coming to see it. And as you said, you know, all the schools that are here and the different, I think I counted 8 different Jewish congregations. 3 are Orthodox, I think 3 are Conservative, 2 are Reform, maybe something in that general area. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different, there's over 12,000 Jews in Richmond, but many are not identifying themselves as Orthodox Jews, but there are many Jews here. So there's a tremendous amount of support for the food festival. That's a huge event. And, you know, while you're here, you can always take a look at the Virginia Holocaust Museum. That's an amazing place to go. It's just a huge resource for teachers there. This is just very concrete, very understandable, very beautiful museum that was put together by Jay Ibsen. He did an amazing job founding the museum, and it's been a vibrant, vibrant part of educators from all over the state, from all over. And so that's an amazing thing to visit while you're here. And there's another, Beth Ahava has an archive and a museum that they use to explain about the Jewish involvement in Richmond, and they take you through all the different stages and all the different histories. And right now there's a very big exhibit on the Civil War and Jews in the Civil War, and I got very interested in that. And I've been working on a project researching some things about the Jewish involvement in the Civil War, and hopefully small book will come out of that, but that's been an exciting thing. So there's a lot to do here, and there's a lot Jewishly to do here. And if you're
as you mentioned the Holocaust Museum, one of the most powerful exhibits that I've seen in a museum of this type was a room where they completely reenact the Nuremberg trial, right, where you see all the Nazis sitting on one side of the room, you see the judges on the other side of the room, you see the American prosecutor who happens to be a Fumid, and he's the book on which he based the various laws that he invoked actually has his name written in Hebrew. And he, I understand that he recently lectured at the museum.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes, there is a lot of history at the museum. Yes, there is a lot of Yiddishkeit in Richmond.
There's more
in
than
all
I,
flavors.
I have to tell you, when I first came here and I saw they had just, the Chabad here had constructed in 2003 a beautiful state-of-the-art mikveh. And I had never seen anything so beautiful and so well thought out and just aesthetically pleasing and halachically and every other way, just a beautiful put-together mikveh. In fact, it reminded me of a palace. It's really so beautiful. And for
they also happen to have a very beautiful, although small, hotel which functions during the Yom Tovim, the Farbring Inn.
Yeah. I have to say that it is one of the most well thought out and beautifully put together Chabad houses and just
mm-hmm.
everything about it. Very sneeze, very nice and beautifully designed and just a pleasure. And when I was first moving to Richmond, I have to be honest, I wasn't that excited. I didn't know anyone here. I wasn't that excited about it. And as I got to know it a little better and I got to visit, some of Jewishly, just seeing how much was here, I couldn't complain. After a certain point, I just could not complain anymore. It's like, all right, it's beautiful, it's lovely. There aren't kosher restaurants like I'm used to, and there aren't certain things I'm used to in a bigger city, but there's a lot here. There is a lot here.
So if there are no kosher restaurants, what does one do for going out?
Well, it's an interesting place that way. I think KBI, the food festival, there's a lot of events in many of the synagogues, and not just in KBI, but in the other, where there'll be an event and it'll involve a meal, not just during Sukkot and not just during Hanukkah, but during the year you'll see the schools will have a cafe night, and they try very hard to make it a very open and very available for the community to come and sit together and eat together. The JCC has a small snack shop, and it's very lovely. It's not a fine dining experience, but if you have to go out, and then Krispy Kreme is the kosher donut place, and there's definitely, you can sit there and have a donut. There's a couple of ice cream places that have a Heckscher through the Vada Virginia, which I'm active with that as well. So there's definitely places to go to sit and have a cup of coffee, if you will, but there isn't a good Chinese restaurant. And Coach's Pizza just opened up. You've got a beautiful way you can call up and order a pizza from KBI. They'll come and deliver it. They pretty much will, anytime you want, they'll come and deliver it. I don't know. It's a fairly new phenomenon, and I hope it continues. But that's been a nice little change. But there's not really a sit-down restaurant. And so you see our community kind of coming, getting very creative with providing KBI Food Festival. You have to be creative. And a lot of
also, one of the nice things about KBI, and I've been at it a few times, is very often they have sit-down Shabbat luncheons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, an average luncheon at KBI, an average Kiddush, is usually very, very substantial. I mean, many times you'll go there and there'll be several different challenges, and you'll sit and you'll talk to people and shmooze, whatever. And there's definitely more community events because of the lack of, and not just because of the lack of restaurants, but you get that community, you get to be able to sit down as a community and eat together, even though there aren't restaurants. And I would say Chabad does their share, and I would say many, many times I'll notice that the RTA or Rudland Torah Academy will have cafe nights, and Shar Torah, which is the girls' high school, will have a cafe night, and the boys' yeshiva. I don't think they do as many, but there are a few times in the year when they will have a venue like that, and people can come and sit and schmooze and have something, and it's open to the whole kosher community. So there's definitely, it's more, maybe the other communities do this as well, but I notice it more because you're like, wow, there's a cafe night, let's go. And you'll see most of the people that that keep kosher, they'll be there. You know, they'll be sitting there and having, you know, that experience instead of having a restaurant. So.
And one nice thing about the Rattling Torah Academy, they also put out a very, very beautiful cookbook, which we reviewed on our blog yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I love that cookbook. That is a great cookbook. In fact, the local bakery, the Mixing Bowl, uses the recipe from that cookbook to make their challahs every week. So they definitely, I know that Judy Mizell put together that cookbook with a lot of love and care, and she's got a lot of her recipes are in there, and it's a very easy cookbook to use, and the recipes that I've used from there I really enjoyed, and they become part of my regular staples and recipes that I use. My daughter also, so it's been a great thing, and I love how it's organized. It's a very nicely put together cookbook. Not that I'm totally impartial, but no, it's a great cookbook.
And going back. Excuse me. And going back to the pantry, how many volunteers are working with you?
Oh, okay. So we have two co-directors, and that's a really amazing thing. And these two co-directors have been helping to do the schlepping and the organizing, and they really do a lot. And then I've got, on a regular basis, at least four or five other people who are willing, if I call them, to bring or schlep or... You know, and then, of course, we have our secretary at KBI, Rivka Bart, who takes all the reservations from different individuals, and she makes up time so that people can come in the most private way possible. Oftentimes, the people that are coming, I have no idea. I never see them. They're really the co-directors, who Lisa Melton and Harlan Loebman have been the co-directors, and they've been hosting, really, people as they come through. So that we could, and I don't think that there should be any shame involved, but if people want privacy and they don't want necessarily to announce that they're coming, then they don't have to be any, you know, more public than they want. So they can come a little earlier or a little later or schedule an appointment. So I would say we have a staff of volunteers that could, on a given day, be up to 10 people, just in the number of people that are bringing their talent and their energy to the... But on the average, it's about the two co-directors and I, we do a lot of the stocking and we do a lot of the procuring, if you will, of the food. And then Rivka makes the reservations for the people who want to come. And there's even more volunteers who will come and clean up and do the removal of whatever hasn't been used
right.
up. We'll go somewhere else. And I like the fact that it's a tiered system. It goes to the people who need the greatest need first, and then whatever is left over can go to the schools, it can go other places that are just that are going to utilize the food that would otherwise go to waste. Because at a certain
right.
point, you don't want to waste anything. And we've been able to keep the waste factor down. And there's a lot of people who've given me advice and given me help, but the staff is a really amazing group of people who never say no, never say it's too much trouble, too late, don't feel like going out. They're always there. And Lisa Melton, who's one of the co-directors, she has a farm, actually. She and her husband have a passion for farming, and they actually grow a lot of the food, and they donate that.
Very nice. And we're just about out of time.
Okay.
It's been informative. It's been interesting. Love having you as a guest.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we got to do this again sometime.
Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege, and I want to thank you. And I will be watching. I will be watching with great interest future shows.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night, and thank you for being on. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And please tune us in next Wednesday, once again, at blacktalkradio.com/kosherscene. Good night, one and all.